The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Divine inspiration for life transformation. Divine inspiration for destiny transformation. Beg your pardon. Divine, so we'll be speaking on divine inspiration in the course of this Wednesday services, in the course of this month. In the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 8. The book of Job, 32, verse 8, the Bible says, "But there is a spirit in man, but the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding." There is a spirit in man, but the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Divine inspiration is called divine wisdom or divine information from above. This is the kind of information that has the capacity to change one's entire life. And until one is inspired in life, one can expire in life. Until you are inspired, there is no future. Inspiration is very vital to the transformation, to the decoration of the life of a man or a woman. And today we'll be looking at two major ways to which we can receive divine inspiration. And I'm going to emphasize a particular one. But the first major way to receive divine inspiration is the Word of God. The Word of God is the major tool for inspiration. The Bible speaking in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness." So the Word of God is the word of inspiration. The more you read it, the more you are inspired. The more you read it, the more you have a better understanding of what to do next. There's somebody here today. What you are to do next, God is going to show you from His Word today. I say, what you are going to do next, God is going to show you from His Word today. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. The Bible says we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the word of God is very heavy in inspiration. Also in Joshua 1 verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You meditate on it day and night." Because inside that word, there's inspiration inside. So meditate on it day and night, that you might observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That will be your testimony today. I say that to be your testimony today. So I want to go to the second way of receiving inspiration, and that is what we are going to major in this service, and probably in some other services in the course of this month. How do we receive inspiration? The second way to receive inspiration is from those who have walked with God. In fact, I wanted to call this message titled "Lessons from the Ancient." Lessons from the Ancient. And we'll be treating it extensively in the course of this month. And I know that somebody will receive knowledge and inspiration from it in Jesus' name. Everyone that is a star in this kingdom is a product of inspiration. Joseph, David, Esther, Daniel, all were product of inspiration. And we'll be looking with emphasis at the life of Joseph. Just a few things at the life of Joseph which brought about, which can inspire you and I to become better at what we do. I call it inspiration or lessons from the life of Joseph. Lessons or inspirations from the life of Joseph. Number one lesson we are to learn from Joseph or Joseph's life is that Joseph was a man that stood against evil even when he had to stand alone. That number one lesson is stand against evil even when you have to stand alone. Joseph, amongst his brothers, was bringing his brother's evil report to his father. Genesis 37 verse 2. Joseph always brought his father their evil report. And the lessons we have to learn from this is that it doesn't really matter what Genesis 37 verse 2. And the Bible says there his father's wife, that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So number one lesson that should inspire you tonight is that Joseph, which is our major person that we are looking at tonight, was a man that stood against evil even when others were standing together. He was a man that stood alone even when others were standing united. So what is that telling you tonight? If you really want to enjoy your life and you want your life to be transformed, you must stand against evil. Turn to your neighbor and say, stand against evil. Don't stand on the side of evil, but stand against evil. In Exodus 23 verse 2, Exodus chapter 23 verse 2, the Bible is speaking there. Exodus 23 verse 2, it says, thou shalt not follow multitude to do evil. Don't follow. That was what Joseph did. Joseph exempted himself. Joseph separated himself. Joseph did not allow himself to be corrupted by the evil of his brothers. And this led to the transformation of his life. Somebody is here tonight. You are the next person that God will transform into alive. There are two kinds of people in life. One, people of conviction, and people of consensus. People of conviction are people that know what they want out of life and they are convinced. People of consensus are people that want to do what everybody is doing. And you don't have to do what everybody is doing before you do the right thing. What matters is that you stand against evil, even if you have to stand alone. Number two lesson that we can learn from the life of Joseph, don't forget that we are treating those that work with God that can inspire us. And we are treating Joseph tonight. And we started with number one, that Joseph was a man that stood alone. And this brought about his lifetime. Number two lesson from the life of Joseph was that he was a man that enjoyed parental goodwill. No matter what, try as much as possible to enjoy or assess parental goodwill in life. In Genesis 37 verse 3, the Bible says that Joseph was a man that his father loved so much, he even made him a coat of many colors. He was a man that his father loved so much. No matter how difficult things are, try to enjoy. When we say parental goodwill, we are talking about spiritual parents and biological parents. Hosea chapter 12 verse 13. Hosea chapter 12 verse 13. The Bible says that by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. No matter what, if you really want your life to be transformed and you want to remain inspired, work on it to ensure that you enjoy parental goodwill. Joseph was a man that enjoyed the goodwill of his father. He was a man that enjoyed the goodwill of his father. And because of this, God honored him. Somebody is here tonight, you are the next person that God will honor. I say you are the next person that God will honor. So, lesson number one is that you can stand against evil. Lesson number two from the life of Joseph is that you must endeavor to secure parental goodwill. His life was transformed because he enjoyed the blessings of his parents. He enjoyed the blessings of his father. Somebody is here today, that will also be your portion. I say, somebody is here, that will always be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Ensure you don't bite the finger that has fed you. ensure that you don't speak against your spiritual or your biological parents. Ensure that your loyalty to them is 100% all the time. This will guarantee your destiny transformation and your destiny elongation. My prayer is that nobody here will die young in Jesus' name. Number three lesson that we can learn from the life of this man that can inspire us is that he was a man that had a dream or a vision. Genesis 39 verse 6 to 7. He had a dream. He had a dream. He had a vision. Genesis 39. The Bible says, and it came to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Joseph was a man who had a dream and a man who had a vision. Let's go ahead and read Genesis 37 verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told this to his brethren. Genesis 37 from verse 5. He told it to his brethren and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I dream. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaves. Also in verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream. Joseph was a dreamer. He was a man of vision. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. The book of Habakkuk chapter 2. He says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the table that he may run that readeth it. And then he said, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. For at the end he shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. My prayer is that somebody's vision will not die here in Jesus' name. Joseph was a man of vision. And this is a very important lesson that we can learn from his life. He was a man who dreamed a dream. And his dream was a dream of greatness. I want to ask you tonight, what is your dream? Because you must have a dream for your life to be transformed. What you don't see, it can't come to pass. Never operate a blank mind. When your mind is blank, your life is bleak. Your future is bleak. That is, there is no future. The future you can't see, you cannot seize the future. Except you see a future, you can't assess the future. Joseph was a man who had a vision of the great future that he was going to have. He believed that he was going to dominate in his family. Somebody's here, that will also be your portion today. I said that will also be your portion today. Your future, you cannot future in a future that you cannot see. There's no way you can feature in a future you cannot assess. So from today, may God give you the grace to begin to see something great. I say, may God give you the grace to begin to see something great. I say, may God give you the grace to begin to see something great. Joseph was a man of vision. He was a man who could see that he would have a great future, and he got it. I don't know what you can see, but I know what I can see. And I believe that somebody is here tonight. Your future will be very, very great in Jesus' name. Joseph was never the number one person in Egypt, but he was a great man. He was a man that Egypt never forgot. He was blessed. He was rich. He was prosperous. He had everything. And I know that somebody is here today. Your own case will even be greater than that of Joseph. Your own story will be greater than that of Joseph. Can I hear your loudest amen? Joseph had a vision. See, everyone that will have his life transformed must have a vision. You must have a dream. The dream of the kind of husband you want to get married to. The dream of the kind of house you want to live in. The dream of the number of children you want to have. You must dream it to have it. You must dream it to assess it. You must not have a blank mind. Your mind must not be blank. You must think right. You must think of what you want your future to look like. And somebody's here, the exact great way you want your future to look like, that is the way it will look like. The way you have dreamt that your future will look like, that is the way it will look like. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The more you have vision, the more you have dreams, the more you assess what you have dreamed of. You know, God always, he makes sure that that dream in your heart, he brings it to pass. That's what God does. What you dreamt of yesterday is where you are today. If you have another dream tonight, God will bring it to pass tomorrow. And somebody's here, all that you have ever dreamed of, you will not die with your dream. You will see your dream come to pass. You will see your dream being actualized in the name of Jesus. Number four lesson that we can learn from the life of Joseph that can inspire us is that Joseph, number four lesson is never reveal your dream or vision to adversaries or your enemies. And I'm going to spend some time here. If you are ever going to get a transformation of life, don't reveal your dreams to adversaries or to your enemies. In Genesis 37, verse 8, the Bible says, "And his brethren said unto him, Shall thou indeed reign over us? And shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." If you are ever going to get life transformation and stay inspired, you must not reveal your dreams. Never reveal your dreams or your visions to adversaries or to your enemies. Never reveal your dreams to adversaries or to your enemies. My prayer is that somebody is here tonight, your enemies will not puncture your dreams. I say enemies will never puncture your dreams. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kinds of people you must never reveal your dreams to. I show you that very quickly. Who are the kinds of people that must never know what God is telling you or what God is showing you or where you are going in your future? Number one kind of person I must never know is never reveal important details of your life to people who don't value you. Don't ever do the mistake of revealing your dreams and your aspirations to those who don't value your person or your personality. This is a teaching tonight. People who don't value you as a person, don't ever do the mistake. Joseph made that mistake, and we are here to learn from his life tonight. His brothers never valued him. That's why they can sell him off. His brothers never valued him. That's why when he told him their dreams, they said, "Nonsense. Can you indeed become what you say you will become? If you are going to enjoy divine inspiration for destiny transformation, don't reveal your dreams to those who don't value your dreams." B. I'm talking about the kinds of people that you must never reveal your dreams to. B is never reveal important details of your life to people who don't respect your personal principles. Don't reveal important details of your life to those who don't have respect for the principles that you have. For example, you have a principle that it's not good to smoke and somebody is a chimney. He doesn't deserve to know your personal principles. You have a personal principle that corruption is bad, stealing is not okay, it's a cost to steal. And somebody says it doesn't matter, it's natural, it's national cake, let's all eat it. He doesn't have you shouldn't give him your ears for him to know what your next plans are. Don't reveal your dreams to those who don't value your personal principle. Number C, kind of people that you must never reveal your dreams to is never reveal important details of your life to people who don't understand you. There are some people, they just don't understand you. No matter what you do, they say, "I don't understand you." Some people, when you try to tell them your dream, they say, "You are too ambitious." How many of us remember David, when David wanted to go and kill Goliath? Eliab, one of his brothers said, "You are too ambitious. I know the pride in your heart." When you reveal your dreams to those who don't have respect for you, there is no way there is no way. There is no way. Never reveal your important details of your life to those who don't respect your principles. Never reveal important details of your life to those who don't understand you. So somebody who says, I don't understand you, I can't get, what is your problem? Don't involve them in the personal details of your life. Is somebody getting something tonight? Number E. Kinds of people that must that you must never reveal your dreams to. Are we on D? Okay, D. Never reveal important issues of your life to people who have nothing to offer you. Don't waste your time. When somebody has nothing to offer your dreams, don't bother to reveal your dreams to them. Never reveal. Joseph made this mistake, and we are here to learn his lessons today. Don't bother yourself. Somebody sends you a WhatsApp and asks you, how far with your plans? And the person has nothing to offer. Don't reveal it. Many of us have revealed many things to people, and this has aborted our dreams. I heard a story of a woman who had been trusting God to get pregnant. And immediately she got pregnant. She started announcing it to everybody that I'm now pregnant. And then the two people that were involved in her not getting pregnant, one of them said, what were you looking at that you saw this woman get pregnant? And she lost that pregnancy that same month. And the issue of pregnancy never came back. Never reveal your dreams to people anyhow if you want your life to be transformed and you want to actualize it. Especially those who have nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer. They don't have good advice. They don't have anything good to offer. They don't have anything good to offer. Never reveal your dreams to them. E. Kinds of people you must never reveal your dreams to. Never reveal important details of your life to people who consider themselves to be your enemies. Anybody that you can see or you can perceive as your enemy, don't ever reveal your dreams to them. Hello. I said hello. Many people have revealed their dreams to many of their enemies, and this is affecting their life. Anybody that says he's your enemy or has behaved as an enemy, don't reveal your dreams to them. Anybody that has spoken as an enemy or behaved as an enemy, don't reveal yourself to them. We are here to learn the lessons from the ancient, from their good and from the mistakes that they have made, thereby being inspired and then our life being transformed. Never reveal important details of your life to those who consider themselves to be your enemy. F. Never reveal important details of your life to those who are threatened by your success. Anybody who feels threatened when you are successful, don't reveal your dream to them. Anybody who feels intimidated by your progress, don't reveal your dreams to them. Never reveal important details of your life to those who are threatened by your success. There are some people that they don't have anything to be successful about. They don't want to become successful. In school, we call some of them NFA. They have no future ambition. They have no future plan. When you reveal your dreams to such people, their plan is to make sure that your dream doesn't come to pass. Never reveal your dreams to those who are threatened by your success. When you do this, when you go ahead to reveal your dreams to them, you face hostility or enmity, which can result in calamity. Anytime you reveal your dreams to those who are threatened by your success, it will result. You just see them, they just see you. You greeted them yesterday. Today you greet them. Please. They will suddenly become very hostile. They will suddenly become enemies overnight, and they can poison you. My prayer is that somebody is here tonight and this word is for you. You will never make any mistake like this again in life. I say you will never make any mistake like this again in life. In the name of Jesus. I said when you reveal your dreams to them, you face hostility, which results in enmity, and which eventually results in calamity. Somebody here will escape calamity. I say somebody here will escape calamity. If you are that person, let me hear your loudest amen. If you are that person, let me hear your loudest amen. So, these are the kinds of people you must never reveal your dreams to if you want your dreams to be actualized. Now, who are the kind of people you can reveal your dreams to? Let's go to that quickly. Number one person that you can reveal your dreams to are people that love you sincerely and genuinely. Someone will say, how will I know? God will give you wisdom and inspire you to know. Because there's a spirit in man and the spirit of God giveth him understanding. Who can you reveal your dreams to? Those that love you sincerely and genuinely. Number two, who can you reveal your dreams to? Those that God has placed over you as a spiritual cover or spiritual parents. You selected them anyway. And God did not enforce them on you. You can easily reveal your aspirations to them. This is what I'm planning to do. This is what I'm about to do. This is my dream for the future. Can you pray along with me? Can you advise me on what to do? They might not have so much money. They might not have so much experience, but they have the wisdom of God. Someone say wisdom of God. And they have the spirit of God. Number three, who can you reveal your dreams to? Your spouse. Because I believe your spouse will be somebody that is you are already one. The two of you are one. Your spouse, you have a dream. Your husband should know what you are planning. You have a dream. Your wife should know what you are planning. Your wife shouldn't be hearing about your plans from outside. Hello? Your husband shouldn't be hearing of your plans from outside. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Number four, who can you reveal your dreams to? Are genuine friends that are better than even family members. Genuine friends. Genuine friends. A friend nearby is better than a family that is far away. Genuine friends. Genuine. That is friends who are born again. Friends who you know that they have the Spirit of God. You can reveal. Not friends that the same business you want to do. Immediately they hear about the business, they quickly dispatch money and go and start it before you start. Somebody was telling me some time ago about somebody who gave somebody a particular space to rent to do business. And then when the person saw that the business began to boom, the person found a way to say, no, this place, you can't use this place again. We want this place free. And the following day, the person packed. The person went to start the exact business. That's a dream killer. Don't expose your dreams carelessly. Don't expose your aspirations carelessly. Lesson number, what are we now? Number five. Don't allow anything to disconnect you from God's presence. Joseph was a man who was addicted to God's presence. In Genesis 39 verse 2 and Genesis 39 verse 21, you will see Joseph was permanently addicted to God's presence. Anybody, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in prison at this time, yet the Lord was with him. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Also in verse 21, same chapter, Genesis 39, 21. And the Lord was with Joseph. I pray that as God was with Joseph, he will also be with you. Another major lesson we can learn from the life of Joseph is that Joseph was a carrier of God's presence. Inside the pit, God was there with him. inside the inside Potiphar's house as a slave, God was there with him. When he was inside jail, God was there with him. My prayer for you is that anywhere you go, God will be there with you. I say anywhere you go, God will be there with you. Can I hear your loudest amen? If you really want your life transformed, then you have to ensure that you keep God's presence. The greatest loss in life is not the loss of a car. The greatest loss in life is not the loss of a house. The greatest loss in life is not the loss of a passport, international passport with American visa. The greatest loss in life is the loss of the presence of God. That's why you must guide His presence. You must maintain His presence. So much so that if He doesn't go with you, you refuse to go. Anywhere God says, I'm not going with you, you say, God, I don't want to go there. Because without God's presence, nothing can be achieved. My prayer for somebody here tonight is that you will never miss out on God's presence. I say you will never miss out on God's presence. You will never miss out on God's presence. Your connection to your maker determines your making. Your connection to the person that is your maker determines your making. Your connection to your source determines your resources. Your connection to God. Joseph's connection to God eventually made him become very big. To the extent that he was sending food to his father, Jacob. He was so blessed and he had abundance. They sent money to him, he didn't receive it. How many of you are here that if they send you a bag of money and you say, I reject it, I don't need it? Joseph was so prosperous that they sent him money, say, I don't need it. Only God knows how much was inside, maybe like 10 million or 20 million. Say, I don't need it, I have more than enough. You will get to that level. I say you will soon get to that level. You will soon get to that level. Can I hear your loudest amen? Recently, one pastor called me from somewhere and said they needed to send in some money to a church. And that do you have a website? I said, yes. He said, they need a church that has a website. And because you are a friend, we want to use the church website and we will share you from the money. I think I told you about it. And I quickly called. I said, if you need a website, we have somebody that does website in our church. But for our church to be involved in money laundering, no matter how much the dollars is, we don't need it. The money that is our own will come to us. Hello. The money that, so to hear Impact House name inside the EFCC net, it will never happen. You will become very, very prosperous. You will lay up gold like dust. You will lay up gold like dust. Very soon, money will be very, very much in your hands. Money will be very, very much in your hands. Your bank account will begin to swell. In the name of Jesus. I'm still on the lesson number 5. Don't allow anything to disconnect you from the presence of God. If you really want to ensure that your life is transformed, there are many of us that the smallest thing takes us out of God's presence. There's a song. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. That is, with God's presence, it's like I'm in heaven. That is your greatest asset. You will not lose God's presence. 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 And number 6. But before I go to the last one I want to teach tonight, this God's presence is so important. In Job 13 verse 15, in the book of Job 13 verse 15, Job was speaking there about the essence and the importance of God's presence. He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. That is, no matter how difficult it is, I will always stay in his presence. May this same spirit enter you today. May you never be a person that is easily tired of God's presence. I say, may you never be a person that is easily tired of God's presence. Every day of your life, you will be yearning for God's presence. Every day of your life, you will desire God's presence. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? It means when you wake up in the morning, what you think of is, how can I get into God's presence? In the evening, how can I get to anywhere you are? Your body begins to shake practically when you are far away from His presence. That will be your portion from today. In the name of Jesus. And lesson number 6 from the life of this man tonight that can inspire us for our destiny to be transformed is that he was a man of character. Someone say character. You must come to a level in life where character becomes very important for you if you really want to succeed. The Bible says everything was left in the hands of Joseph, yet nothing was lost. Everything that his boss had in the house, everything was in his hands, yet nothing was lost. He was accountable. The Bible said the man looked at only his food. Every other thing was left in Joseph's hands. How many people can we do that with in these days? You say, okay, I have 7 bank accounts, I give you the authority. I have 7 houses, I give you the authority to administer it anyhow you want it. I have 7 factories. All these things are all in your hands. All I want is that you give me food to eat in my house. There are some that within 3 months, all those businesses will die. They will even kill the owner self to make sure that everything. So character is another major lesson that we learned from the life of this man. He was a man of character. The Bible says in Genesis 39 verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That will be your portion in the name of Jesus. Companies you never invested in, they will hand them over to you to manage. Monies that you were not there when they accumulated it, they will hand it over to you to manage. But you know, it's important that you are a man or a woman that can be held as a man or woman of character. This is the major thing that is lacking in this generation. That is why people like Joseph, like David, like Daniel are very scanty in our generation. Because trustworthiness is very scarce. Trustworthiness, especially when it comes to the issue of money. There's a general saying, they say, you cannot know a human being except when you entrust him with money. You can never say this is how somebody is. It is when you have a business transaction with somebody that you can know his real character. Every one of us can be in the church and say, hallelujah, glory to God, holy hands. Lift your holy hands in one accord. Everybody will lift it up. But when it comes to the issue of business transaction, that is when you can truly know who a person truly is. May you not be found wanting. I say, may you not be found wanting. I say, may you not be found wanting. Also in the area of character, Joseph was found to be a man of character in the area of his sexual interactions. The wife of his boss was luring him to bed. Maybe because the guy was always traveling and was leaving the woman alone. And suddenly, she saw that Joseph was a handsome man. And it came to pass, that's in verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Verse 8, but he refused. But he refused. This is another major lesson we can learn from the life of Joseph. Joseph was a man of godly character. He protected his boss even in the absence of his boss. He could have done what we call chop and claim out. Chop and claim out. At least nobody was there. They would just send all the other servants on, say, oh yeah, please carry this yam, carry it by foot to Gerialimi, and walk back to the house. So between here and that place, the deed is already done. Praise the Lord. May God find you and I to be men and women of godly character. Your character will always determine the extent to which your life can be transformed. The extent to which you can be trusted with money, the extent to which you can be trusted with resources, will determine the extent to which God can bless you. My prayer for somebody here tonight is that your destiny will not be ruptured. Your destiny will not be ruptured. Your destiny will not be ruptured. Everyone here tonight, anyone that is planning to rupture your destiny through sin or evil, God will misdirect them in Jesus' name. Anyone targeting you, God will bring them to shame in the name of Jesus. Yesterday night, my wife and I were reading in the same place. She was reading, I was also reading, and she got to a place and she told me, and was telling me what she was reading in the book she read. The man of God that was preaching, that wrote the book, said somebody was trying to get somebody into trouble. And she said, what this man said, just in one line like this, he said, it has plenty meanings. That is, what he was trying to say has a lot of things that has gone. So what are we trying to say? The maintenance of your integrity matters a lot. My prayer is that anywhere you find yourself, men will beat their chest and say you are a man of integrity. Women will beat their chest and say you are a woman of integrity. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? My prayer is that your destiny will continue to fly. It will continue to progress in the name of Jesus.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.